Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back with all of you. The reason we're doing a 9 o'clock is that we have our election of our officers for the conference at 9:30, and I had to move it up 15 minutes. I'm sorry. We've got a busy week ahead of us this week. We will be considering the proposed $25 billion bailout for the auto industry. This afternoon, the Banking Committee is holding a hearing where we will hear from the industry representatives on this matter. I am sure it will come as no surprise to any of you that I am strongly opposed to a bailout for the auto industry. Simply throwing money at the problem is not the answer. I do not believe Congress should bail out Detroit. Bailing them out now will only prevent the inevitable pain and also reward past bad decisions. $25 billion will only be the first installment. They will be back for more. The immediate problem facing the auto industry is a lack of consumer demand and consumer financing. Auto sales have dropped by about one half in the last 3 months. And while the problems facing the auto industry are related to a larger economic problem, the real issue is that the domestic manufacturers still need to make significant changes to their businesses. Even with the most recent labor agreement, the labor costs are still significantly higher than the foreign manufacturers. They also need to reduce capacity, shrink the dealer network, eliminate some brands, and produce cars that Americans want to buy. Despite my opposition to this bailout, I want to be very clear about something I am extremely concerned about in Kentucky, and that is the workers. Alternatively, I don't want to see people losing their jobs, and if I thought this bailout would have any chance of saving them those jobs in the long run, I would probably support it. There is no question that Detroit's problems will have serious impact on the Commonwealth. The auto manufacturing industry in Kentucky is the largest state manufacturing sector. In fact, Kentucky is the nation's third largest producer of autos and has the fourth largest number of auto manufacturing jobs. That's related suppliers and everything else. I hope we can all work together to find common sense solutions to help get our economy back on track as quickly as possible so that the auto industry can rebound, the housing market can grow again, and so that we can get our financial markets moving in the right direction. But the solution to our problem is not piling debt on top of debt, which is exactly what the proposed bailout will do. In fact, according to the local press here in Washington, They don't have enough Democrats even supporting this $25 billion adjustment for the auto industry, and that means that trying to get Republicans to support it is very much in question. Now I'll be happy to answer questions, and if you want, I can share some ideas that I have about short-term economic impact on Kentucky and other alternatives that might have a better chances of succeeding. So I'm open to questions.
Well, this is Pat Crowley, Senator. What are those ideas?
Well, some of them would obviously the $25 billion would only be the first installment. Other than the proposed bailout, Congress could restructure the existing loan program so that those funds get delivered immediately. Those are the other $25 billion that we have in the pipeline. They don't have that money yet. The administration has encouraged Congress to do that rather than open up the financial bailout to Detroit. Congress could also provide tax incentives to stimulate vehicle purchases, such as giving a deduction for interest and sales tax on autos. Those incentives would be of no benefit until financing returns, however. In any of the big three, if any of the big three fail, the Pension Guaranteed Trust Corporation is going to face a significant strain in assuming the health care or the pension liabilities of any or all of the three auto industries, which they do, which I am familiar with because our banking committee deals with the Pension Guaranteed Trust Corporation, and it would need a big influx of money if we are going to take care of the big three. We have approximately 49,000 auto workers and related jobs, 14,000 auto workers, 32,000, almost 33,000 in related supplier jobs, and 1,985 senior management jobs in Kentucky. So it's a significant hit for Kentucky, but in 3 months it will be gone, and we'll be doing it again. And in 3 months, I talked to some people from J.P. Morgan Chase, who handles the financing for auto industries, and they're a big player in that. And I also talked to some auto industry executives. And this is not the answer to a long-term solution. The answer to the long-term solution is to change the business program, change the healthcare program, change the retirement benefits, lower the amount of dealers that sell autos, and we can do that in a much more orderly fashion than trying to bail them out.
But you would, Senator, I missed the beginning of your call, but you would support a loan to the auto industry or not?
Well, there is $25 billion right now in the pipeline in the $700 billion bailout that was put in there for the auto industry that has not been processed as of yet.
You're talking about the retooling for more fuel
efficient
cars, right?
That's correct.
So, and you would support a loan from that?
I would support that money going if it is used in the manners that I have described in my alternatives.
It's my understanding that under the bill that Reid introduced, it would require whoever received these loans, the auto companies would have to file a financial plan looking forward on how they were going to.
Is
that acceptable to you? As a
that may be an alternative, but I'll look at it. Reid has been pretty secretive about what he put in, and it is not a little bill. So it was just put in yesterday. So and we're going to deal with it tomorrow. They don't expect it to pass. I'm talking about the Democrats.
Right. One copy of the bill I have is pretty short.
Pretty short.
Yeah.
Well, there's also a
14 pages, according to
14 pages.
Yeah.
Well, we will get the shortened version. You got the shortened version. On this week's CQ Weekly, I would really and Mike will have it for you if you would like it. It's Selling a Short is the name of the article, and it says Paulson has effectively called it quits. He's not even going to ask for the second $350 billion installment of the bailout because he has no idea how he would use it. Gee whiz, I mean, where did I hear that before? I heard that exact same testimony from my mouth to his when he was testifying about what he was going to use the money for. He had no clue what he was going to do with the money. In fact, he got the money under false pretenses because he didn't tell us the truth. He said he was going to use it for toxic access in the Fannie and Freddie and other other toxic equities that were in the market. He has not used one penny for that yet. All the money has gone to his friends at Wall Street. And now he's going to hand it off to the Obama administration. So I would recommend this to you, and just call Mike if you would like a copy. It's a nonpartisan book. CQ is very nonpartisan.
Senator, can I just clarify? It sounds like you support the concept behind what Reid is proposing, but you're not for what Reid is proposing. Can you kind of
The concept that $25 billion will do any good is the wrong concept. But there is already $25 billion put in the pipeline. Now, I was told yesterday by the people who know how fast Detroit burns through money that will last till January, that money. If they get it in November, it would last to January. I mean, what do we do in January, Pat? We're back at peg one. And we surely can't pass another $25 billion in January and expect that to last very long unless they change the program in Detroit. Unless they change everything that they're doing, Chrysler, General Motors, and Ford. And that is the only, in my opinion, the only way they can do that is go through what the airlines did in a bankruptcy proceeding of Chapter 11.
Senator, this is Dan Modlin of Bowling Green.
Yes, Dan.
You mentioned the idea of tax incentives to stimulate sales, and you also mentioned that the current bailout plan doesn't seem to have enough votes to pass the Senate. What about an approach like that with tax incentives? Does that seem to have more?
Well, there were a little tax incentives in the bailout. There were $7,500 per vehicle, but it only applied to new vehicles. It ought to apply to all vehicles, used, not only any kind of vehicle you purchase, whether it be off the showroom floor, whether it be a vehicle that is not new, any kind of vehicle that you purchase to get the economy going and to get the credit markets moving. General Motors won't, GMAC won't lend you anything unless you've got a $750 credit rating. Well, how many people have 750 credit ratings, Pat? I say that not having a clue what yours is.
But you think there would be some interest on the Senate side if a proposal like that?
Yes, there is. There was in the original bill. There was a $15,000 tax credit for new and other vehicles. The big problem is when it got done and the Democrats narrowed it down, it was $7,500, and it was only for new vehicles. So it didn't have the effect that would. The bang that we expected it to have.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Senator, this is Dan Conte with Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to be with you
this morning.
I didn't
think you were on, Dan.
I came in late, but I guess the important thing is I am here now.
Okay.
Senator, when you were talking about Henry Paulson and his change in strategy and how he wants to use money in the rescue fund, I wonder if you feel that he may have shattered whatever confidence that people have in the plan actually working by going this different route.
Absolutely. Confidence in Henry Paulson is at an all-time low. Therefore, his relationship with those in need is at an all-time low. Respect for the Secretary of the Treasury it looks like he's in a holding pattern right now, expecting the new administration to take over and solve the problem.
Do you think that it's appropriate for him to be?
No, I think he should resign. I called for his resignation over 2 months ago. He and Bernanke. They have together usurped the power without getting it and did things that were not in the plan at all and spent money on things that were not in the plan and assumed the money under false pretenses. So how can you trust them?
On another topic, I know that the name of Hillary Clinton has been bandied about for Secretary of State. Do you have any feelings about what kind of a
Secretary? Other than what I read in the paper, that that she's probably in a job consideration mode right now, whether she would or would not take it. Whether it's been offered or not, I can't tell you that. I don't know. But if she would be Secretary of State, you know, that would be wonderful.
You think so?
She wouldn't be in the Senate.
I see. Do you think she has the credentials?
Well, compared to who?
Compared to Condoleezza Rice?
No. She obviously doesn't have the intelligence that Condoleezza Rice has. The scholastic background and all those things, but she does have some practical experience that others do not. And I use Bill Richardson as a comparison. If I were to choose between those two, Hillary would win hands down because Bill Richardson's a rogue negotiator and I would think Hillary would use the State Department through the proper channels.
All right, sir. Let me ask you one other political question. It looks like Mike Duncan is going to have some opposition.
No, he's not going. My opinion is he's not going to run.
Oh, you don't think he'll seek re-election?
No, I don't think he'll seek re-election. In fact, if anybody happened to be there on a week ago Saturday, he made that pretty clear.
Do you think the RNC does need new leadership?
Well, I mean, if Mike is not going to rerun, obviously it'll be a free-for-all for the leadership post. And I don't believe that Mike is going to seek re-election to the chairmanship.
And you did not encourage him to seek re-election?
I didn't have a chance to. I was kind of busy.
Yeah. All right, sir. Thank you.
Senator, you're up in the next election cycle. Who would you like to see there? Because that'll probably help have some effect on your election.
Who would I like to see at the head of the RNC?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, gosh, that's chosen by I was on the RNC for 8 years. And that's chosen by the rank and file members. I went through the Haley Barbour one, and that was strictly from the rank and file. So I couldn't even accept that Michael Steele has thrown his hat in the ring right now, the former lieutenant governor in Maryland, and I would say he has a leg up because he's been involved in RNC things since the day he dropped out of being considered for lieutenant governor. I mean, vice president. So I would think that he would have a leg up. And there are others that I know that are old liners from when I was in the RNC that would like a shot at being the chairman.
Be good for the incumbents running for re-election?
Yeah, I think whoever takes control of the RNC, especially in an off-year election. This is not a presidential, so most of the money is raised for the Senate candidates and the House candidates. So that would be a big plus for anybody running in 2010.
Which includes you, right?
Which includes me.
Emphatically, right?
Emphatically.
Underscore.
Who is that?
This is Jim Carroll.
Yes, Jim Carroll.
All right. Underscore, put in red ink. There's no doubt in anybody's mind, right?
Right now, absolutely no doubt.
Right now, what's that mean?
Well, I mean, it's tomorrow. Who in the hell knows? I may be dead. You know, I mean, my terminal cancer might reoccur.
Oh, gee. Well, barring something as extenuating as that,
barring an unusual occurrence.
Okay. Like death?
Like death.
But other than death, nothing will keep you from it.
Jim, what do you want me to say?
Okay, all right.
Sign it in blood?
No, that's all right. That's all right. Save it. That's
save okay. it?
Save your blood. That's all right.
Save my blood.
Yeah.
I need it to fight the courier.
Okay.
I'll say one thing. Comment on Kentucky is so much better that I cannot believe it. Farrell Wellman is really a good guy. I know you guys don't watch Comment on Kentucky, but I do.
That's not on Fox either, is it?
No, it's on, let's see, KET1. But that's even on, KET1 is now on my DirecTV. Anything else? Since I got to go vote, I want to make sure I don't miss Mitch's re-election.
You're voting for him, I presume.
I'll probably nominate him.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.